that just magnified two things. The first one is how God look at sin. We might cover it all under one thing. Well, I just messed up. Mm-hmm. But to God, there is different and greater impact. These verses before us cover the seven first chapters of the book of Leviticus. Verse 5, you have the different kind of sacrifices and offering to deal with this very same matter. That's the Lord Jesus here, covering every one of them for the satisfaction of the heart of God. And that is the horrible of sin, that we look at it slightly like, I really didn't mean it. It offends God and His principle. It's fly right in His face. And for the people, there were the different kind of offering that they have to offer, whatever the magnitude of it. But there is a greater thing, too, that we need to keep in mind regard to the work of Christ on the cross. The whole universe was impacted by sin. Not just us, because in Hebrews it said, and the heaven itself need to be purified. Mm-hmm. So sin was really, well, really, it wasn't originated on earth. Sin needed to be dealt with. The throne of God needed to be vindicated. Because how God could be just and the justifier? How could He do anything if it wasn't when the fullness of time had come, God have sent His Son? It's just the perfect time, the perfect solution to the question of sin. How could man be justified before God? That's what Job had asked. And that's what every worthy person with a conscience will ask that question. How could God, who is a holy God, justify the sinful man? How could God, who is a loving God, forgive a sinful man? The cross of Christ is the answer to it. The death of Christ is the answer to it. How wonderful is God's solution, God's offering? It cost you and I nothing. It cost God His Son. It cost the Son of God His life. If we don't appreciate that and have a great impact on our heart and our life, it will be a theoretical discussion. We could cut the truth in a straight line and give, you know, pointer to every verse and everything. And we walk out of here and we know Isaiah 53 by heart. And we could, like, this verse is the sin offering. This verse is the trespass offering. And this verse is the meal offering. Great and wonderful. If we walk away from here today and have the different perspective on sin. And if we do not have a different perspective on sin. And a different perspective on what Christ have endured. We have lost the whole thing. Amen. We really have lost. The whole purpose is this. Is my heart is touched by the cross of Calvary, by the work of Christ? It is satisfied God's heart. But how about mine? Do I look at sin again the same way? Do I look at the suffering of Christ and just really as, well, was it needed? Oh, it must be. He must go through Samaria and he must suffer.
How do we explain or understand, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him? Pleased the Lord to bruise him.
One of the things that helps that is to see what God had in the end in view. Because God knew that through the sacrifice of His Son, there would be what follows in this verse. There would be a seed that he would see. There would be trophies. We'll get that in our last study. So the pleasure wasn't as if God enjoyed hurting His Son. That isn't the thought. I think it's more that in view of what would result, he wanted to do this.
I also add to that, the view of the Lord Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So he was also looking ahead at the end result of what he would suffer, what he was going through.
Also, if we can add a couple of thoughts to it. When the Lord Jesus came in manhood, he lived in a way that man ought to live before God. That even to the measure of suffering, it pleased Jehovah because he was doing it for the glory of God. This is where the sweet-smelling savor comes in the sacrifices. That there was something for the pleasure of God. You might say the fat of the sacrifice. There was something for the delight of God. Why is it? We have heard it clearly. It's not just because he's judging him. but because it was being done for his glory, and there is a man for the first time in the universe that even in the depth of suffering, he was doing it for the glory of God. So having this please the Lord to bruise him, mind you that in the divine assessment of things, the work is always as if has been done. In the book of Revelation, it was the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. You would say to yourself, from a divine perspective, there is nothing going to hinder the work of Christ whatsoever. That's why when the Lord prayed in John 17, I have finished the work. I have glorified thee. But how wonderful to see that this word please is really in relationship that this is a man who lived in the right way, that God was looking at a perfect man, and he brought honor and glory to him, even in that wonderful work of sacrifice. But then he says, because he has subjected him unto suffering. I just want to suggest that word of subjection, that the Lord was subjected. Think who he is. You know, when we read the word, he obeyed, he became obedient unto death, even when you read these words, subjected, obeyed, just think of who he is. It was something that he had to learn. He learned obedience because he was never accustomed to obey. He is accustomed to give command. But brethren, this is the great work of this blessed man we're talking about. And we'll keep the distance and we'll enjoy what the Spirit of God will give us for us to enjoy.
I want to ask a question in relation to the expression, the sufferings of Christ, both in Peter and also in the Gospel of Luke. The Lord Jesus says in Luke, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? In Peter, we read of the sufferings of Christ. I know in Hebrews, it says, Jesus, that he might sanctify the people, suffered without the guilt. But what is the effect, the strength of this expression? The sufferings of Christ, the anointed. What's this? What is it saying to us?
You want to say more? You have more in your mind than just a question.
I'm glad that you're saying you have so perspicacious.
1 Peter 3.
Yeah.
That verse that you know. Verse 18.
Yep.
For Christ indeed has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. So isn't it, does it have that in view?
Here's yes,
the
that's
outcome.
Right. That this is the one that God chose to do the job. There was nobody else available. Is that what you were thinking?
Yes.
You should have said it first.
And that's why it pleases Jehovah to, because there was no other one that could endure that but him. So it was like, okay, here is the right one. Let me finish the work on him. And willingly, again, it's not God who is the austere God who is doing that. And that's why it's not the Father, it's God. And that's where you really need to keep the scripture in the way. He said, the Father is always with me. The Father never forsook the Son. The Lord Jesus said, my God, why thou hast thou forsaken me? So the idea is, finally, God have found, not finally, he knew, but the right sacrifice, the sin offerings, the right one to be offered up. But I think also it undermine the fact of the understanding correctly of the scripture, of the suffering Messiah. Because to them, to their mind, is the Messiah is not to suffer. The Messiah come in power and glory, wipe out all of his enemies. We have thought, that's it. Actually you were mentioning Luke 24. We have hope that this is the one who is going to redeem Israel. They took him and crucified him. And then he has to take them to the scriptures, Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, to explain to them that Christ must suffer first. That was the scripture saying. You just didn't want to hear that. And I think sometimes, not argument, but in discussion with Jewish person, he said, well, okay, you want the Messiah as the son of David. The one who's going to come and reign. How about the Messiah as the son of Joseph? Wasn't Joseph the one who suffered by his own brethren, rejected, have a rule among the Gentiles before you guys came back to him? And it's really the whole idea that is strange to their mind, the suffering Messiah, the suffering of Christ. And Peter highlighted in his writing in a very strong way to get their mind into that. The Messiah needed to be suffered for them.